Hi everybody, Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have Rabbi Ilan Haber with us. Rabbi Haber, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Well, that's very good. For those who don't know, Rabbi Ilan Haber is the National Director of the Heshy and Harriet Seif JLIC program, which is our college campus program. Very, very, very successful. And Rabbi Haber, Ilan, has been with us for how many years now?
12 years as national director.
12 years as national director. I can't believe it. It just seems like yesterday you were in my office and we were talking about it. Wow, amazing. And actually, Rabbi Haber lives in Israel, but travels extensively, comes back to the States. How many campuses do we actually have now in the JLIC?
So we have 22 programs serving almost 30 campuses. And we, for the first time, we now have two couples at University of Maryland for next year.
Well, that is a Shechiyano. That's a fantastic. As I've been to that school last year to speak, and I know how incredible that place is. You go there on a Shabbos morning, and you can't believe what's going on. So I'm glad to hear that we have two people there. So you wrote a very, very fascinating, there's a fascinating article in the Jewish Action, which is actually the cover story, which is a Rethinking Orthodox Millennials. And it's a conversation with you, and they get to ask a series of questions. So I read the interview, and very, very fascinating. First of all, let me make sure I get it right. What is the definition of millennials? What age to what age?
So it's an excellent question. I think it's a matter of a little bit of academic debate. But I believe it's anyone born up to 2004 from the previous, 16 to 20 years, I guess I would say.
Uh-huh. Okay. And in the article, you talk about, what is the difference and what are we going to learn and how are we going to deal with them? So you say they're very involved in social activism. What does that mean?
So what we find on campus is that there's really a great sense of social consciousness where you find, even amongst the Orthodox students, in fact, when Hillels do spring breaks or other offer different types of alternative opportunities. Often there are many, many Orthodox students that take part in them. I believe that you find a lot of Orthodox students that are interested not only in impacting their direct environment, but in having a broader impact even beyond the Jewish community, particularly around issues of homelessness, around issues of social justice and the like.
Uh-huh. Okay. And you also say that they're not gullible. Now, are you saying that other people are gullible or what?
No, I think that sometimes when people think about young people, they tend to think that they, are taken in by the culture around them in a complete way. And what I find is that often when I have conversations with millennials, I find them to be very thoughtful, willing to kind of think about their basic assumptions and willing to think about things in a different way. And often open, you have to have cogent arguments, but open to rethinking and considering different perspectives. They're very curious about the world. They want to learn about it. They want to develop and strengthen and deepen their understanding. And I believe that they're very much open to it.
Okay, that's good. So now, I found the same thing. I agree with you about that. But now here's the issue, really. They're open. They're for social activism, social justice, and a lot of things sometimes fall into that general category, and it's not always so great for an Orthodox student because they're really against, and you mentioned this, the limitation on what you call personal freedom and personal choice. In other words, that basically, everyone should be allowed to do anything, and there should be no limitations at all.
I don't know if everyone. So I would like to clarify that a little bit.
Okay.
My sense is that not that they personally believe that they should be allowed to do anything, but I think that a respect for anybody that makes their own choices, as long as it's not impacting negatively on another person's choices, that's sort of the general cultural norm that's out there right now. So if there's something that in the religious perspective, limits a person's ability in their way, kind of like an artificial way, then that would be something that would be problematic.
But what's really guiding, in other words, what's guiding them is what the society, society is guiding them and not necessarily Torah principles. So you're an Orthodox Jewish student, you come onto college campus, and basically everything, as long as society says it's okay, whatever it may be, that's fine. And now all of a sudden you've got your Torah, which is giving you different sets of guidelines. So how do we reconcile the two? What happens?
So I think it's a very, very difficult issue that we're facing because You know, for example, I'll give you an example. We just had a conference where we brought our educators together, and we were thinking about different trends that we see within the communities that we're facing. And one of the trends that we're seeing just over the course of the past 10 years, an increased amount of dressing down on Shabbos, where people aren't dressing the same way that they were 10 years ago for Friday night dinner, for, you know, Shabbat services and the like. And when we were thinking about sort of what it, you know, how we can relate to that, so one of the things that came out very clearly is that it would be completely countercultural to tell people that they need to dress differently. You know, it's almost like, you know, you're trying to place limitations on my personal freedom or my personal dress. It just would be not acceptable. So if you have a particular norm in religious society and that for some reason conflicts in other areas with sort of what societal's norms are, and we're saying that you shouldn't do that, then that presents challenges, because you're not only is it challenges where people won't listen to you, but it's considered unethical to impose your own perspectives on other people.
Okay. And so let's talk about dressing down on Shabbos. So if someone were to come on the college campus and give a shiur on, you know, big day Shabbos, why we wear, you know, special clothing and why we set it aside for the week and whatever it is, how would they react to that?
So I think if it was a general kind of a shiur, as, you know, describing different, you know, in a positive way, to what it means to Big Day Shabbos, it's great. But if they prescribe and they say this way of dressing is good and that way of dressing is bad, then I think they would be probably very reminiscent of ways they might have felt in high school or different impositions that people have had on their own personal dress, and that would be negative. What we found is that we have to kind of create positive messages or messaging around issues that that to bring them into a perspective where they could say, okay, you know, you want Shabbos to be special, what does that mean? And maybe the way that they do it might not conform to society's norms or, you know, 10 years ago, whatever. But, you know, our perspective was when we, you know, came out of the conversation is if they're dressing differently on Shabbos than they dress during the week, it's still a way of showing that Shabbos is a special thing.
I got you. I got you. So they don't really have to wear the big day Shabbos per se, but if they're wearing a plaid shirt and now they wear a blue shirt, that's kind of like saying Shabbos is a different day.
Yeah, they're at least marking it in some kind of a different quality. I mean, we see obviously differences in Israel and America, what's acceptable or not acceptable. But I think, like, you know, the notion that we should say, okay, this is Shabbos thick and this is not Shabbos thick in a definitive kind of a way, and expecting them to conform to those perspectives or setting dress codes for certain types of environments would be reacted to in a very negative framework.
Okay, that's good to know when you're going on the college campus. I think it's a pretty good thing if you're going to be speaking on the college campus. And when you talk about also the, like, they are more individualistic. They tend to look at themselves as individual entities, and they don't really want to be in groups. They don't want to be in categories. And even you mentioned that when you take surveys and you ask them who they are, how do they identify, it's I'm halachic, I'm this, I'm that, but they're not necessarily Orthodox or post, you know, or even Jewish. It's they want to really segment that into another category. Is that right?
Right. They don't. The tendency, I mean, we see this from the Pew Research that on millennials in general, and this is a general pervasive cultural phenomenon, where millennials in general don't like to be boxed in. They don't like to be put into, like, a category and saying, you're this. They see, especially in emerging adulthood, that period as a period of exploration for them to create their own individualized identities. They may have the same markers of people that identify with all those with a more religious framework, meaning I can still be Shomer Nagiyah, Shomer Kashrus, Shomer whatever, and, you know, but I just don't necessarily call myself or want to be put in a box like I am this, or I am Orthodox, or I'm modern Orthodox, or centrist Orthodox. It's really a very interesting phenomenon, and I think it's hard for people from my generation to relate to some extent, but we're finding this, you know, we're engaging in a major study right now of high school graduates, and we even conducted a number of pre-interviews for the survey, and it came up very clearly that they reacted negative. These are graduates of Orthodox day schools. In the feedback, they reacted negatively to saying, like, am I, you know, not wanting to say I am Orthodox or I am not Orthodox. They wanted to speak in more terms of religiosity, of spirituality, but not in terms of, like, boxes, of putting themselves in a particular box.
Okay, so when you talk about society, you know, that, you know, they look at themselves as trying to define freedom to pursue happiness, and you know, and is that one of the real goals? Make sure that you're happy. Is it one of the driving forces behind Millenniums?
Yeah. So I think now in general. So it used to be, it's very interesting, because I was just talking with Hannah Cohen, who I've been working on doing research on emerging adulthood and relating and thinking about. Hannah Cohen is our OUJLIC female educator at Queens, and she was doing research over the summer on emerging adulthood and thinking about it in terms of the OUJLIC program. And one of the things that she brought out was that, you know, maybe a previous generation, your identity formation was primarily like when you're 13 to 18 years old, or maybe a little bit longer. Now with emerging adults, the period of like 20 to 29 is seen classically as a period of identity formation. So for them, they're much more focused on learning and exploring and developing a sense of personal identity at a time when some of those things might have been determined earlier in earlier generations.
And you talk also about the fact that there's kind of a lack of a community, that they really look at themselves as individuals, and maybe this is going to break down the notion of community and community services and community connections. And you even talk about a little bit when it comes to davening, where, you know, we always believe that tefillah b'tzibur is a great thing, because you're now part of a whole group of people. And when a Kaddish Baruch Hu looks at you, he's not just looking at you, he's looking at the tzibur, everybody who's there, and hopefully there's strength in numbers. But it seems to be that maybe with the millennia, if they're going to say, listen, I'm getting a lot more by going to the beach in the morning and watching the sun come up and davening there than I would going to some minyan where I can't even keep up. What do you say to people like that? Because, by the way, sometimes I think they're right about that. I mean, I know personally that sometimes I've had religious experiences that were not necessarily tied to the community or to the shul where there were many people davening together.
So it's interesting. So I would put it, that's, you know, excellent characterization of what I was trying to say. I would put it, you know, let me elaborate on that just a little bit. First of all, I don't think they're iconoclastic. It's not like they're against community or against being part of a larger group or against it. They're not renegades necessarily. In fact, I would say that this generation, as compared to Generation X, is much less of a renegade generation. But I think that they have to be engaged with notions of community that are different than what our classic notions are. You know, a community as a shul or as an establishment or in a sort of a classic traditional way, I think, is not as compelling to them. And also, I think that the way that they need to understand that community, you know, what resonates with them is that community doesn't mean uniformity. It doesn't mean you have to look and be exactly like every single person, but that it's an issue of unity. It's being part of a group, a unified group that recognizes you and sees your unique aspects and contributions and doesn't try to smother it or take it away from it. So it leaves room for the individualization. It leaves room for the individual, at the same time, incorporates them in a broader communal enterprise or communal entity. And I think that with regard to this, one of the things that I think that has to be communicated more clearly within this generation is this notion of communal responsibility, that beyond my own individual formation, and Judaism believes, and Yadut is very much into personal development and strengthening our, you know, who we are as individuals and growth as individuals. Look, we're not against that. But I think that the notion of mitzvah as responsibility, of being part of a community, of having a responsibility beyond us, even if it doesn't necessarily make us feel better or stronger or more connected Jewishly, is a responsibility that we as Jews have. That, I think, is not a notion that comes naturally. And I think it's a notion that still, you know, is a little bit countercultural.
So how does the religion bend to accommodate their needs and yet not break?
It's interesting because I think that when we're talking about these sort of cultural influences, these aren't Jewish influences. These are broader societal influences. It's very hard. I think that part of it is that we have to be open to, you know, we have to encourage them to think critically, to not take into everything, you know, that's completely in their surroundings, to be open to being countercultural. But you have to do it in a language that resonates with them or that they can understand. If we speak in language that might have made sense to somebody who's 40 or 50, like, you know, my age range, it's going to be a very different kind of a conversation. And I think that, you know, I don't think that they're less inclined or more inclined to Jewish growth or, you know, realizing the Jewish goals and broader communal dreams of Yadut. If anything, I think they have a lot of positive qualities, I think, that would lend themselves to that. But I think they have unique challenges as well. I don't see it being as outside the fold, but I think that as a communal organization, OUJLIC, and as we think of communal leaders, we need to be cognizant of it and be able to communicate in a way that relates specifically to where they're at.
And so when we look at, let's say, at our high schools, do you see the educators adapting to this new culture? Because really what we're teaching is counterculture. That's really what we're teaching. And then if you really want to go a step further, and let's look at the more Haredi world, I mean, there you really have where, you know, everybody is uniform. Everybody looks the same, dresses the same, and they don't encourage individuality. So that's really totally against what the society culture is today.
Yeah, it is. But I think there are examples even within Yadut. You know, you don't have to stray from the Masorah to find, like, positive examples. Like, for example, just very briefly, the Ishbitzer in the beginning of Bamidbar talks about the Jewish people as a mosaic, that each, and in a mosaic, each tile is a different tile. The mosaic, if it was all the same color, if it was all brown or black or whatever, it wouldn't be anything. In order to make a picture, you need to have differentiation between the tiles. And so I think that the recognition that you don't have to take away from your uniqueness. There's a lot of opportunity for personalized development, for being an individual within Yadut. But at the same time, we need to be part of that mosaic. We need to be part of that framework. We need to contribute to the whole. We need to see a responsibility beyond ourselves. We need to see a responsibility to the community and to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and manifesting that in the world as well.
So we certainly have our challenges, but we have our opportunities, because I see great people, and I see great young people today, unbelievably great people. And I guess now, if we just could, you know, accept the challenge and realize that society has changed, they're part of society, and we have to go along with that. And now, readjust our education, readjust some of the things that we do. I think we're going to have a very, very bright future, and I feel I'm very optimistic about it. Truthfully, I don't know. You go to the college campus much more than I do, so you tell me. Are you optimistic at this point?
Absolutely. I think it's a great generation. I think they're willing to be engaged, interested in engagement. I think they want to be challenged. If anything, it puts the onus on us to be more sophisticated, more complex in our thinking. To offer excellence, not to offer mediocrity, in order to be able to engage them. Because if we come to them with mediocre, then they're not gonna respond. But that's not their fault. That's our fault.
Terrific, wonderful. Listen, Rabbi Haber, we can go on and on. Fantastic article, and you're doing a great job for us at the JLIC and the college. We are very fortunate to have you at the Orthodox Union, and very fortunate that we have the JLIC, because it's really a fantastic organization. So, Chazak v'yamatz, keep going and keep traveling, and we look forward to great things from you, okay? So be well, take care, bye-bye.
Thank you so much.